Hi there, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Are you a parent? I have a question for you if you're a parent today. Do you feel like you're really up to parenting today? I mean, you really feel like you're up to it? Or maybe you feel like it's more like you want to blow up, or maybe you want to give up, you know? And we don't want you to do either. And so welcome to Intentional Living Center, where we're connecting people to the power of intentional living in Christ. We got some help for you today and a lot of encouragement for parents. So come on in.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. And now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your kids, here's Randy.
Indeed. Thank you. And I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center. We're all about families. We're all about knowing that God's intention is strong and loving and good toward us. And maybe you're in the midst of trying to raise your kids and you're struggling. And like I said, it's easier to feel like you're going to give up or blow up. You know, the two extremes, give up or blow up. And that happens. I mean, it happened to us when we were raising our kids. I've seen it with our kids raising our grandkids. I've seen it. You see it at church. And we all experience those moments where we either want to give up or blow up, and there's better ways of doing that. So if you don't feel like you're up to parenting today, come on in. You're among friends. By the way, if you have a question for me or you have a comment about parenting or you have a question you'd like to ask, we'd love to have you plug in and be a part of the program. We're live. The phone number is 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and you can be a part of the program today. Now, we think about God's intention, and there are many when it comes to us as parents and grandparents, but I was thinking of a kind of an unusual verse as far as applying it to parenting, but it really is a powerful thought. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he was talking to believers and he's saying, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And it got me thinking, God's intention for us as his children is that we would walk every day in the light of the gospel and the light of the truth of his love, his intentional love for us. And in turn, I think that's something we need to pass on to our kids, to help our kids walk in the light of God's intentional love for them. In fact, can I give you one thing? Here's one thing, parents. How about if you, every day when you get up and you don't feel like getting up in parenting, you have a little prayer that goes something like this. I am a child of God, and I will walk in the light of God's intentional love for me and train my child to do the same. There's a powerful little prayer for you to get started every day. We're talking parenting today. Come on in and join me. We're going to get to the mailbag in a moment, too. In fact, we're going to take some of the top questions we get here at the Intentional Living Center that either come in on our comment line or on email or on Facebook and try to start working through some of these in just a few moments. But you're welcome to join me if you have a question for as a parent or grandparent. The phone number is 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Now, we started the theme here talking about, are you feeling like you're up to parenting? And it got me thinking about all the words that you can put before up, you know, like giving up and blowing up or stirring up. Can I give you some up statements that I think will be helpful to you as you think about being an intentional parent? One of the things you need to do is to stand up. Write that one down. Stand up. In other words, as a parent, we've seen over the years when parents have clear rules, they're willing to confront and discipline as needed. Don't allow your kids to run your home. Your kids find security when you set limits, when you say no, and you're consistent when you do so. To stand up as a parent, we like to say to have a backbone as a parent, to stand up as a parent and to power down, to parent up and power down. In other words, as a parent, to really stand up and have a clear understanding of how you want to run your home. What are the rules that you're going to have that are reasonable? Being willing to confront consistently and to discipline as needed. I think there's a time, too, that you have to build up. And building up your children comes back to this idea of encouraging them. We all need encouragement. There's something powerful that happens in a relationship between a parent and a child. I've seen it. I see it with my grandchildren now as I speak to them when I build them up. You know, I'm just thinking of one of my granddaughters who's 8 years old, and she'll come and sit next to me, and I will intentionally speak into her life and just saying, hey, sweetie, I see some really cool things going on in your life that God's doing. I see some things about you that I'm just so happy to see that God's working in your life in these areas. And just speak into her life about some of the gifts that I see God giving her and talents. And you know, you've done this with your kids and grandkids. You see their face start to beam and their eyes start to get big, and they really connect around the idea that you're building them up. And it takes so little to encourage your grandchildren, to encourage your children, to encourage your spouse. So not only do we need to stand up, but we also need to build up. And I've got some more ups for you as well. We'll get to in just a few minutes. You're welcome to join me if you're a parent or grandparent and you have a question on how to be an intentional parent, something you're facing today and you want some strategies that work. Intentional living is all about developing strategies that can make a life-changing difference for families. Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Also, a reminder, we're just a couple weeks away now from the Hope for Your Home Conference. Dr. Kevin Lehman and I are going to be in Phoenix at Glendale Nazarene Church. We're going to be unpacking some of the truths around marriage and parenting and how to be intentional. Tickets are going fast, and it looks like we're going to sell out in advance. So if you've been waiting, this is the time to get your tickets for the Phoenix Conference. You can get those at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Got some questions that have come in from the mailbag and over the web we're going to get to in a moment, and your calls, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
When we think about this process of change, there's an inconvenient truth that when we focus on the things that we cannot change instead of what we can, we momentarily escape the spotlight of personal responsibility and endanger the most important things in our life. That's lifted from the teaching for this month for all members of the Intentional Living family. From a topic that I did called The Courage to Change, The Power of Change, and How to Make Change Work in Your Life. So watch for it, members. It's coming your way. If you're not a member, come and join in with others, like Mike, who's just joined us from Cochran, Georgia. Thank you for joining us in monthly support, Mike. Appreciate it. And here's Charles and Tracy from Tempe, Arizona, joining us every month in support of the Intentional Living Center. Appreciate that. You'll be receiving this teaching along with ongoing teaching each and every month that's designed to encourage you in your journey. If you're not a member, come and join us today by going to theintentionallife.com. All right, appreciate your calls and your comments with us. And I know if you can't reach us live today, you can always leave your question on our storyline, just like Debbie did from Texas.
Hi, this is Debbie, and I'm calling from Texas with a 15-year-old daughter that is suffering from mood swings and depression and has become quite the disturbing behavioralist with suicidal thoughts that get just the amount of tension but never the desperate suicide attempts, literally tearing our family apart. I do not know where to turn. She's seeing professionals that is not helping. We are very much active in church. I would so appreciate any advice.
Hey, Debbie, listen, when you have a child that escalates their emotions to that level, we have to take whatever they say as a serious concern. We can't ignore that. Now, what you're saying is, at what point does it become an opportunity for her to pull on the string of you as a parent and control the family? It's a very powerful thing for a child to be able to do, to use those threats And like you said, your family's, it feels like you feel like you're in shambles, like you're completely ready to give up, as we talked about, as a result of what she's doing. Obviously, you need to stay with the professional help. You need to be with people who really understand this kind of behavior from a teenager. Then, as far as you're concerned for your family, remember, when we put all the emphasis on one child in a family that's really going through a tough time, you take attention away from the other children. And it may not be that they're going to pay for it today, but you may pay for it down the road. As children later say, the whole family revolved around her problems or revolved around his problems. And so continue to operate your family as, quote, normal as you can, giving love and attention to all of the children, making sure you're caring for each, and then praying for this child and getting professional help. And there's times where you do feel overwhelmed, and that's when you really need to reach out and make sure you're getting help, okay? But the key is don't ignore or forget about the rest of the family, because it's been said when one member of the family is in the spotlight, the rest of the family can be in the shadows, and that's a problem. All right, Sally Barton is here. Sally's one of the chiefs around here in the broadcast world. And Sally, we get a lot of questions that come in, and some of the top parenting questions you have digested and pulled together.
Yep.
And I'm ready. Let's see what you got for me. Be nice to me, though, this first time.
Okay.
By the way, welcome. Nice to hear your voice on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me here. It's a joy to be here. Now, this first one is one we probably all relate to, and it has to do with the question is about marriage, really, I think. She says that, you know, when we first got married, my husband and I spent all our time together. Now there's kids in the picture, and my husband's feeling left out.
Yeah.
Who do I love more?
It sounded like a good idea at that time. Time to have kids. You know, listen, I think the question when you say, who do I love more? Do I love my husband or should I love my kids? How do I pay attention to both? Here's the reality. When you start getting to the place where you think there's only so much love to go, it's like a piece of pie. You know, it's like a pie. And you say, I can only give 3 pieces to them and 2 pieces to them. The reality is we're all sharing and there's plenty to go around. And grown-ups, when they have children, they should be growing up as parents, right?
I was going to say, need
to understand that there's going to be sharing with others. But I'll tell you where this really shows up is with blended families, especially when all of a sudden the parent of the child or children feels like they need to give more attention and protection and care for their kids. And this new spouse is feeling left out, not getting the attention. It creates a problem. I think it's just you and your spouse getting together and realizing that you're going to be tired, you're not going to be able to pay as much attention as you'd like, and that's part of the process. But don't ignore each other because, Sally, you know someday those kids will be gone, right?
I've experienced that, yeah, and it's true.
It's right, and you look at each other and you say, now what?
Now what?
So make sure you're investing into each other.
Love that. Good advice. Here's the next one. When our children were younger, we let them sleep in our bed.
That sounded like a good idea.
You're
at the
not
going to
let me finish it, are you? Yeah. Now that they're getting older, how do you get them to sleep in their own beds? The family bed, Randy.
You know, we had one of our children who remained anonymous when he went through a stage, so we know it's one of the boys, would come in and try to get in our bed every night. And we knew at first it was a little, you know, he was scared and, you know, he heard something, but then it became a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we said, no, wait a minute. If he starts getting up in this bed, it's going to be too comfortable for him, and we're never going to get him back into his bed. So we said, listen, if you have a problem at night, you're feeling a little scared, you're welcome to come over. And he had a little sleeping bag he could pull out and lay on the floor, which wasn't going to be overly comfortable.
Right.
But there's a point where you understand that, hey, this is our space, and, honey, you've got your space, and you have to enforce it, and that's not easy. I can remember our son, he'd go to bed at night. He would get up, and he was trying to control, and he would, you know, he would cry, and I'd say, you got to go back to bed. This is your space. And then he heard his mom coming down the hallway, and he fell to his knees, this little guy, and put his fingers under the door.
No.
Like, this beast of my dad, come and save me, you know. You'll get through this stage, but I think there's a time and a place for everything, and there's a time where you have to stand up and say, okay, now you're going to need to be in your own space.
Okay, good advice.
Not easy, but you need to do it.
Yeah, you don't think about, you know, years to come. Yeah. You just think about right now.
Exactly.
And for us moms, that's a hard one. The fingers under the door, really?
Yeah, he did. And boy, I got the look on that one, too.
Oh, man, I love it. Here's what I relate to. I even took my daughter to the pediatrician because she wouldn't eat her peas. So I get this mom is asking, my kids are very picky eaters. I don't want to force the issue, but I also want them to be healthy. What do I do?
Wait a minute. You went to the pediatrician because your daughter...
Maybe.
She wouldn't eat peas.
Could be.
Now she's a mom.
Yes.
Did she turn out okay? Is she healthy? What did the pediatrician
tell
you?
She's alive and breathing, and I think she likes her peas now.
What did the pediatrician
tell you? He said she's not going to die if she doesn't eat her peas.
All right. So back off. Pick your battles carefully, mom. We know sometimes it's a bigger deal to you than to your child. And just like Sally, I mean, if you're really concerned about the picky eater, ask the pediatrician, is my child going to die if they don't have their peas? You know, and by the way, if they don't like peas, give them carrots.
Okay.
Sometimes as parents, we get hooked on they've got to have this one. Maybe they're going to like something else. We all have different tastes.
Yeah. That's kind of a firstborn thing, too. Yeah. You know, I don't remember taking my son, the secondborn, to the pediatrician because he didn't eat his peas. So here's our last one.
Right.
How do I get my child to stop whining?
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
You know what happens? We know that's attention getting.
Okay.
Right? And so when your child is whining, if they're getting some reinforcement for the whining, it's more likely to continue. Now, obviously, they know when to whine. They do it at times when you can't ignore it. Because you know we're going to say ignore it. Just kind of walk away and let them whine and life goes on. But they'll do it when they're in the store or at church or at a restaurant or whatever. And sometimes you have to just remove them from the scene and not give them the, quote, positive reinforcement that they're looking for where they can control the whole situation.
So it's that moment that, as a mom, let's say, you're just so weary of the whining, you go, okay, here's the chocolate part.
Yeah, and that, boy, I'll tell you, they're going to say, ooh, I know how to get what I want. And so this is where we got to, that can't give up, as we talked about. You got to be a parent and be consistent. But you'll get through it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's part of the process.
Especially if you take Dr. Randy's advice and follow through that first time.
There you go.
And the second time.
Very good. All right. Go collect some more, and we'll have you back another day with some more questions, Sally.
Thanks, Dr. Randy.
Thanks, appreciate it. We're talking parenting today. I'd love to have you join in. Let's go to some calls. We got Shirley on the line in Arizona. Hi there, Shirley.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes. I'm doing fine.
Good. What's your question?
Yes, I'm... a grandmother, and my children are in Virginia and California.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sorry, my children and my grandchildren.
Right.
I have 5 grandchildren, and I would like to find some other ways to be supportive and encouraging. I do email cards, birthdays, special holidays, Christmas, but I only see them a couple times a year. So that's kind of hard, and I just want to be in their life as much as possible. So I'm just open for suggestions.
Are you feeling left out?
No, I'm not feeling left out because they do send pictures. The kids are good about sending pictures of their activities and the kids themselves.
Yeah. Well, the good news
to 19, 16, 14, 12, and 9.
Well, they're all busy with their own lives, too, at that stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got it. So I'm not feeling left out. My husband and I, you know, we go and visit as often as we can, which isn't that often. But, you know, we're in good health, so we can get there a couple times a year.
Yeah, I think a couple of things, Shirley. One is the advantage of today with technology. You can do the FaceTime type of thing on the computer or... you know, where you can actually see them and talk to them and schedule times to do things. I mean, that's
right.
Huge.
That's the hard part, doing the scheduling with their schedules. But I know what you're saying. We have done FaceTime a few times.
Yeah, I think if you do that intentionally, I think the other thing is if you can find the one thing that kind of turns the crank for each of your grandchildren, every person has that unique sweet spot. It's either an interest, a hobby, a desire, or something that's going on in their life. And connect with them around that. In other words, if you read something online, an article, or you see something that you know they relate to, that would be really of interest to them, send that to them. Say, hey, honey, I read this today, saw this, thought you'd be interested in it. In other words, you're getting into their world with the things that they're interested in. And of course, today with technology, I mean, that's where the young people are. And so if you want to find the kids today, you got to find them in the, you know, the social world. And so connecting with them around where their interest would be. I don't think as grandparents we have to be, quote, cool. I don't think that's the key.
Oh, no, no, no. Well,
we just have to be connected, right? We don't have to be cool, but connected.
Exactly. And I know, you know, they're not as active in their church activities as I would like them to be, but that's, you know, their life, and they're super busy as a family doing sporting activities and all of that. So I just have to kind of, you know, not worry about that because my own children have the seed planted.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, they're eventually going to do something with their children.
You know something?
They're older.
You know, Shirley, I never had an opportunity to meet my grandparents except for one. Three of my grandparents had already been in heaven by the time I was either born or old enough to connect with them. And something that would have been powerful, and we have the technology today, would be if they had sat down and given to me and to all their grandchildren the history of their life. That can be done today on video and other forms, where you just sit down and share with them, you know, you're growing up and what life was like and who you are, and you can share very, very normally and naturally in that process what God has done in your life and why God's important in your life. And what you pray for them and for their lives. I think there's a sense of a blessing. Our friend John Trent wrote the book, The Blessing, many, many years ago. And I think as grandparents, one of the things we can give to our grandchildren is that sense of blessing, that sense that God has something special for you in your life if you'll trust him. This is what he's done for me, and my prayer is this for you. And I think that kind of a gift to our grandchildren in a very natural way is something that maybe long after we're gone as grandparents, those young people will, when they're older, will open that file and listen to that. I can't imagine they wouldn't. And when they do, to hear the story of Grandma and Grandpa, I think it's pretty powerful. All right, Shirley, best to you. Thank you for your call. We're talking parenting today. You're welcome to come and join me. If you have a question, we're going to stay here in the studio afterward and record another program. And so our lines remain open at 888-888-1717.
I was the one that was saying, you know, God, please change my husband. Please help my husband do this. And it wasn't happening. We both came from really bad backgrounds. So, of course, I prayed and came to the conclusion I need to stop bargaining with God and saying, well, if you help my husband do this, then I'll be nicer or more committed or, you know, and then saying, help me be more peaceable and to win him over without a word, like the scripture you're talking about in Corinthians. So it really has made a huge difference.
You know, the conferences that we do over the years, and we've had thousands of people come, and sometimes we're focused all on marriage, and sometimes it's focusing on parenting, and we're doing something special this year for our Phoenix conference. We're focusing on both marriage and parenting, and I have my friend and special guest coming to speak with me, Dr. Kevin Lima. I'll talk about that in a moment. But our passion at our conferences do two things. We believe, and I have seen over the years, when people apply the principles of intentional living that are very powerful, and really they're focused on understanding that you have the goals and desires and hopes and dreams, we call them intentions, that God has placed in your life for your family and for your marriage. But sometimes we don't know how to get those into action. So we talk about developing the kinds of love habits. How do we develop love? How do you discipline your children in a loving way? How do you discipline in your marriage? How do you communicate? What are some of the love habits in families that are transforming families around America? And at our conferences, we try to really unpack that. And we've seen thousands of people stand with a one thing commitment at the end of our session where they say, hey, I get it. Here's one thing for 30 days I intend to do for my marriage or my family. And we're doing something special this year. I invited Dr. Kevin Lehman to join me. Some of you have read his books, the Birth Order book, Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours, and one of the other 50 books or so that he's written. Kevin's been at it a long time with a lot of humor and help and practicality. You never know what Kevin's going to say, but it's always good. And I've invited Kevin to come and really help us focus on this topic of parenting from his best-selling book, Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours. And I'm going to be focusing on marriage and how to have intentional love in our marriage. Where is this? It's going to be in Phoenix in just about, what, 2.5 weeks, coming up on April the 21st, Saturday, at Glendale Nazarene Church. Early bird, all of the Gold Circle tickets are sold out. The early bird discount, our staff put together a discount for those getting tickets early on here before we get right to the end. And so that's about to expire here very soon. And so if you've been thinking of getting your tickets, I encourage you to do so. We're selling out quickly. I want you to be there. We want to meet with you people. Come on and join us from New Mexico, anywhere around Arizona, anywhere. Come and be a part of this great event. April 21st, Glendale Nazarene Church. Hope for Your Home, we're calling it, along with some help and humor as well. Get your tickets today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on the events there. Okay, a couple things as we're wrapping up the program today on parenting. And again, we're going to stay here and record for another program on this topic. So if you have a question on parenting, something you're wrestling with as a parent or grandparent, come and join me. 888-888-1717 is the number. A couple of things. I think there's a time when we talk about standing up and being the kind of parent that God's intends for us to be. We talked about building up our kids, encouraging them. Such an important thing to do to encourage them. I think it's also important to turn up, you know, not only to build up, but turn up. In other words, you've got to be there. And this comes back to loving our children by giving them the time they need. They may be coming home, going into their bedroom, doing stuff on their computers, connecting with their friends. Listen, you need to turn up and be in their lives. Parenting requires time. It requires being present, being a part of their life, sometimes shutting everything off, spending time together around the table. Families are not having dinner together now. They're busy doing 20 different things. Being intentional to say, we're going to turn up as a family. We're going to be here together as a family. We're going to talk about things that matter as a family. We're going to turn off the things that distract us so we can focus on the things that really matter. I think there's another thing that we don't do in parenting sometimes, and that's not only to turn up, but to follow up. After you've maybe disciplined your kids, maybe you've set some standards that you expect, you got to make sure you're following up consistently to make sure that the way that the family is being operated is in a way that honors Christ. And if you don't follow up, you know, as someone said, whatever gets measured gets done. And if you don't measure it, if you're not seeing how things are progressing, you can miss it as a parent as well. We're going to go on and have more. I'll share some more of these on the program we're going to record down the road. Love to have you join in if you have a question or comment on parenting or grandparenting. Phone number is 888-888-1717. And if you woke up today feeling like, you wanted to give up or blow up as a parent, hopefully we've given you some encouragement to hang in there, okay? We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.